I would like to tell you about some things that are happening, and if there are those of you that are willing to pray, it would be, a great help to the project. Daniel and Sarah Krupp are in Burkina Faso, and they went to a conference that's held annually. I can't remember the island. Malta, was it, or maybe not? Okay, but they went to this conference, and they had made preparations. They knew some of the things that were going to be presented, and they got a puppet, and this Burkina Bay woman, that's very sweet and fits the part that she played very well with this puppet. And usually, you know, it's kind of, these things that are done by Christians are kind of ding-dong school type things. And they're not, you know, they don't give much truth. But Justin and Sarah filled their video time with truth, and the people loved it. They loved it. The story they show with this puppet and that is just really catching on, and other organizations realize the benefit of teaching truth to children. And the amazing thing is that these videos will be prepared and go to nations that we cannot go into. But they're presented in such a way that they're not offensive, and the opening is there. And not only the children respond to them, but many older ones respond to the teaching as well. And then you know that Rebecca and Denise have created some books for children. And one of those books was spotted and identified as something that would be a great blessing to the project there as well. And the amazing thing is, it was their first book, the one that they didn't think maybe was up to standard with other things. And that book is something that others want to use. And so we're thankful to the Lord for the doors that He's opening. There's going to be a number of people involved in these projects. And we trust God to give us wisdom, that He'll speak to us. And when I say us, I mean them. All those who will be involved, and there could be quite a number that will be involved, but we see an open door that has not been made before, and God wants to use Zion Fellowship to go with the gospel into nations that are not open to it now. And I thank God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let's pray for that situation. Father, we thank You so much for Justin and Sarah. We thank You for, Lord, the possibilities that lie before us. Lord, we ask that, Lord, You'll raise up a host of those that You anoint to prepare programs, to prepare teachings that will go and touch the hearts of men and women throughout the earth. Places where Christians can't go to teach. We just pray, Lord, that You'll show us who should be a part of that and who You're going to use in that. We thank You now. And Lord, meet with us this morning in Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glad to see everybody in this lovely spring day that we're enjoying. This morning, I want to begin to speak to you about spiritual fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14, and John had a very special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John was very near Jesus, and he has insights that others don't express at all. And God wants us to see the importance of John's insights for our sakes. In 1 John 2, verse 12 through 14, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So here, John is speaking of three different stages of growth. Little children, which is speaking of an infant, you know, little baby, and one that is growing up, you know, and it'll take a little time before he's not looked upon as a baby. Then secondly, there's young men, and this means, in the Greek, it means a young man is a youth under 40. A youth under 40. So those of you that are still under 40, God looks upon you just as youths. Isn't that exciting? All right. And then a father or a parent. And we are looking at this portion of Scripture as parents this morning. Our goal is to see growth and development in God's people. We're not to remain babes, infants. We are not to remain young people. We're to grow and develop, and we are looking at these parents as both fathers and mothers in Christ. And those that are able to nurture others and bring them to the fullness of God's purpose to know our Heavenly Father. That's what God wants. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and these instructors would be teachers, and teachers are very important. But though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. You have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, John makes very clear here that God's intention is to develop all of us to spiritual fatherhood and motherhood. That's his goal. He doesn't want us to remain as babes. He doesn't want us to just be young men, even though they've really developed, they're strong, and the Word of God abides in them, and they've overcome the wicked one. That development is wonderful, and we thank God for that. But God doesn't want anybody to remain at that level. He wants everyone to develop and come to the place that all of us experientially know our Heavenly Father, and that we become like Him. That's God's purpose. That's God's purpose for us. Now, instructors or teachers, and I love teaching. I love instructors and all of that. But instructors or teachers may not be spiritual fathers. And God is saying he wants everyone to go past where they are to know the Father. One does not have to love someone to be a teacher, right? You don't have to love others to teach them, but spiritual fathers and mothers must love those that they nurture, that they care for. And God wants us to understand that, so that each one of us, in whatever level God takes us to, maybe it's just one-on-one. Many people need one-on-one teaching and instruction. And so God wants us to consider that we develop, that we mature. See, just getting older won't do that. There has to be maturity that takes place. God wants all of us to grow up, so that we can nurture the younger ones and help them to come to know our Heavenly Father in a way that we know His ways. We have truth that comes from Him, and we're able to help the younger ones become established. Spiritual fathers and mothers must be mature in the Lord themselves. And it takes time and diligence to become like Jesus and the Father. We must spend much time waiting in the presence of the Lord and seeking Him to know Him and His ways. And I want to assure you, it's well worth the investment of that time that it takes. We must learn to hear His voice when He's speaking to us. It may not be an audible voice. It may just be in our own mind that He speaks. But if we will wait in the presence of God and get to know Him, we're going to know when it's God speaking to us. And He wants us to learn to respond when He speaks to us, that we will do whatever He says, even though we may not want to. Sometimes, you know, there's a resistance in us to what God's saying, and we don't like what He's talking to us about. But if He's said it, it's very important that we learn to obey Him. And this is part of getting to know God. And we want to do whatever He's directing us to do, because that's going to work out well for us in the long run. Our son came home from school one day very distraught. And It was because a situation, this was in high school, I think, yes. This was because a situation had happened with one of his fellow classmates. This young man had tried to commit suicide over the weekend. And our son came home very, very distraught about it. And my wife said, "What is wrong?" And he wouldn't say. He didn't want to upset her. And so later, when I came home, I met with him and talked with him. I sat down with our son and talked with him through the situation until he was able to come to peace and to have a settled spirit. I also gave him some direction in how he could talk to this classmate. And I think if I had not taken time to guide him through that situation, he could have been troubled over a long period of time over it. It was deeply troubling to him. And it was so important that his father was there to be able to help him through the situation. And God wants us to see the potential that there is if we will mature and if we will listen to God's voice, if we will develop in our relationship with the Lord, spend time with Him, He's going to mature us so that we can help many other people in the situations of life. And God is looking for spiritual fathers and mothers that can nurture the younger ones. Not just here, but in many places. How many churches do you know that talk about spiritual fathers and mothers functioning in the church and in their families and so forth? It's very important. This word from the Apostle John, he understood what is on God's heart to nurture the young ones along. David spent much time in waiting in God's presence. David loved the Lord. He had a real heart for God. Now, David had some problems, granted, but David wanted God, even though he made some terrible mistakes. He wanted God, and he was willing to pay whatever price it took in order to be able to come back into God's presence. God would instruct him, and David learned to obey when God spoke to him. God would give David battle plans. He'd tell him how to win the battle against his enemies. And it was because of his relationship with God that God was able to instruct him, tell him how to win his battle against his enemies. The Lord guided David through life's journey because he knew and loved God. And he knew and loved God's ways of doing things. David cared for the men under his leadership, his soldiers. He cared for them, and he sought to do what was best for them. And, you know, many people just want to take advantage of others, to exalt themselves in some way. But David really looked after his men. He saw that they were well provided for and taken care of. Now, God wants the spiritual fathers and mothers to bring forth little ones. He wants there to be a birthing of young ones that will grow up to maturity. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." He understood the necessity of his intervention into the life of little ones, and he would travail for them to bring them in to what God had for them in due season. In Isaiah 53 and verse 11, Isaiah says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And God wants to move in our lives so that we are like the Lord Jesus Christ in that regard, that we look after little ones, that we desire to see them develop, that we travail for them, you know, pray for them and intercede for them before the Father so that they can mature and be able to care for others, that they can grow and develop and mature in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail." And here Paul is talking, he says, "For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." Paul says, day and night we were involved in helping you to grow so that you can bring others along. And, you know, I'm so happy to see every one of you here this morning. But what I also want to see is that you bring people into this place with you, that you, through the week, are ministering to. You're nurturing them. You're trying to help them to grow in the Lord. And you're not bossing them around. It's not that kind of an attitude. It's the attitude of a father and mother that God wants to come forth from us. And, you know, the families with little children, they bring them with them to church. They train them how to behave in church. Most of them. And it's wonderful to see the development that takes place. And then one day, they may be up here teaching a class, giving truths that others haven't known because they've been trained in the ways of the Lord. Spiritual fathers and mothers have gained a sense of the growth level of the young ones. And it's very important that we do that. We don't try to take a little spiritual babe and, you know, get into truths in the Bible they're not ready for. We must learn the very basics. We must learn the very basics and be able to teach them to the children. Many years ago, there was a person in our church that had backslidden. They got into deep sin and headed into a lifetime of great devastation. And I was able to meet with this person after many years. In fact, the Lord told me to go to a funeral home and they would be there, and they were. And I was able to establish a relationship with them once again and begin to teach them and help them back into the purposes of God. God was sovereign and touched this person's heart. And I began to give them simple instruction. And it was highly spiritual. Well, you may not think so once you hear. But I told this person, I said, I believe you need to get up early every morning. They had a job. And I believe you need to get up very early, if you're very early in the morning, if you're willing, and go walk the sidewalks through your town and pray in tongues and worship the Lord and minister to Him. And this person did that for a time, and then eventually, they came to me and they said, you know, when I was walking with the Lord before, I would pray, but I never had prayer times like I'm having now, walking the streets of our town and praying in tongues. This person said, it's totally revolutionized my life. See, a simple thing. I'd never think of that normally, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Tell them this is what they need to do. And when they did, they met with God like never before. And I just want to encourage you. This person was retrieved from the hold of Satan. And to this day, they're walking with the Lord. It's wonderful what God did. But see, people need instruction. They need help. They need guidance. And we can't just, you know, come up with our own ideas and, well, maybe this will help you. That's not the way God does it. We must hear from the Lord and give them advice that is going to be from the heart of God that will work to get them established on the right pathway once again. It's very important. Very important. They need the help. They need nurturing. They need nurturing. In Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Paul here is saying, don't just stay on the foundational doctrines, but move on to other things. It's very important that the foundational doctrines are well established in the lives of those that we care for. A number of years ago, and I don't remember how many years ago it was, I implemented a year-long study on the foundational doctrines. And they were more than just what Paul is mentioning here in Hebrews 6. There's many foundational doctrines. Marriage and family is a foundational doctrine, whether you realize it or not. And a lot of people don't have that foundation at all. Many other things that need to be taught, but they're basic things, and a lot of people just ignore them, go over them, and there's not a good foundation laid in the lives of many people. But I developed this course, and everybody in our church, when they first came in or when they graduated from high school, they would come into that Sunday school course for a year. And we went over the same material. I taught that, I would think, a minimum of 25 times and probably more. We were there 42 years, and I didn't initiate it at first till I saw the need for it. And foundational doctrines are something that a lot of people don't have. And it's very important that we teach those things. And some of these foundational doctrines were mentioned in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 that I read. But there's many other things that are very basic, and they lay a foundation, and it changed our church from having those foundations. We would have people that had been through that class years before, and maybe 6 or 8 years later ask if they could take it again. Because, see, everyone needs sure foundations, and a lot of churches are not teaching those things. It's very important part of every one of our lives. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, here Paul writes again, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." How many of you know that doesn't work? I can see your hands better than I can with your head nodding up and down. Okay, it doesn't work to be friends and interact. I'm not saying we don't have any interaction with the world, but we can't have our friends be those of the world. Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, God says, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I realize that in order to win people to the Lord, we must be in contact with them. But this is not the place for a new babe. There has to be a separation. There has to be a coming away from those that are in the world. And you know, we can be kind to them, loving to them, and share things with them, but we can't make them the ones we run with in life. There has to be a separation that takes place. And there's people that don't develop because they've never made that separation with the world. And God wants us to know how to lead those that are young in the Lord, to separate from the world and make a distinction so that we are recognized. There's the presence of God upon our lives. We've separated from the deeds that tear us down and keep us from developing in the Lord. We separate from those things and the people that insist on those things. And we go in God's ways. This is another very essential thing that God wants us as His people. In nurturing young ones, help them to separate from the world and become holy in the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 through 7, you have not resisted unto blood. Have any of you ever, in resisting evil, have started to bleed? I never have. That's what Paul's using here. Striving against sin. We don't strive so hard that we get a nosebleed, you know. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Have any of you ever had a child that didn't need correction? Because if there is, I'd love to meet him. I've never seen one in all my life. It's an essential part of growing up. And there's a lot of people that had no correction, no discipline, and they still struggle with the same issues as when they were little ones. But God wants us to teach them, to train them, the importance of receiving chastening from God and from others that love us and care for us. Now, chastening is an act of love. It's not an act of frustration. I can't stand these kids anymore. I've heard those kind of things said before. But there's a realization that my mom and dad love me, and that's why they're correcting me. And see, all of us, in order to develop, we must be corrected. We must be corrected, and we want to understand the purpose of it. And we must teach that to others so that they, when they receive correction from the Lord, chastening from the Lord, or maybe from their spiritual parents, that they receive it and are not downcast because of it, thinking that they are being rejected. Then in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, though he were the son, King James says a son, but he is the son of God, Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to learn obedience because he became flesh. He had to learn obedience like you and I must learn obedience. It's a fun process, isn't it? Don't you just look forward to God's correction when you think you're so good already? Well, it's very important. It's very important. Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering, through sufferings. I've heard some talk about what Jesus was like growing up, and, you know, he never had to be corrected. Have you ever thought about Jesus getting a spanking as a child? Have you? Has anybody? I wonder. I mean, I don't have any scriptural evidence except this, that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. It's a part that all of us have to have as part of our development, but also we must teach others. We must correct others. Not when we're a babe, not when we're a young man, but when we're a spiritual father or mother. Now I want to look at nurturing the young men. These are the ones under 40 that are called young men, and they have a lot of development going on in their lives, but they're still not ready. They're still not fathers and mothers. Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord. Now, the young men are developing. The young men and women are developing. They're maturing. But they must learn to wait upon the Lord. Now, that can be looked at in two ways. Sometimes it's a matter of waiting for God's timing. Abraham and Sarah got a surrogate mother to try and fulfill the promise. But the problem was they didn't understand they needed to just wait upon the Lord. I mean, just waiting. But also this means to wait in the presence of God so that he speaks to us, he infuses things into our spirit that we need from him so that we are able to look after the younger ones. We don't want to faint in the days ahead. Some people faint on their journey to what God has for them because they haven't been well established in training that God intended for them to have. And we want to be able to give that to the ones that we nurture and care for and bring into the purposes that God has for them to grow and develop. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." And see, young men need to be taught that. This admonition from Joshua was very important to Israel. Many of them, we see over the years, they took lightly the law or they discarded it completely. They forgot God's ways. They didn't keep what God said. And every time they went down that pathway, they lost their development in the purposes God had for them. And God wants us to learn His ways in everything. The Word of God absolutely addresses every area of our lives. Everything. God has addressed it in one way or another. If we will learn to read and meditate upon the Word of God, we'll see what God is saying, and He will show us the pathway of life. We want to be very careful, and we want to teach that pathway of life to others. We want to teach it to others. God is a very practical God. And in our Sunday school class, we've been hearing from Aaron. Eric. My mind floats around at times. But he's just giving us simple things that are part of our lives. And it's life. It's important things that affect the choices we make every day. And God wants us to see how valuable His Word is. He's got amazing things. And we must wait upon Him. We must meditate on the Word of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. Now, why are there so many churches, different kinds of churches, different brands of churches? Why are there? Well, it's because everybody doesn't rightly divide the word of truth. They don't rightly divide the word of truth. And so they get these other doctrines and they've got to bring them in, and then they form a church based on it. God wants us to rightly divide and exercise the Logos of God, the Word of God, the written Word of God. God wants us to absorb it, understand it, and know what God's purpose is so that we abide in Him. In John 7 and 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. See, it's living daily the Word of God. And if we love the Lord, if we obey His Word, if we don't just ignore things and walk over them like they're not important, they're important. And they're going to determine whether or not we know the doctrine that is of God and we know what isn't of God. Very important. And we want to teach these things to the little ones. Jesus overcame His temptation in the wilderness against Satan with the Word of God. With the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. And we must know the Word of God, and God will keep us. And we must be able to impart that Word to others, that they develop in God's ways. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul writes to Timothy, endure hardness. How many of you really enjoy hard things? Maybe not too much, huh? Well, Paul says to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars, and there is a war going on. Do you all recognize that? I look at our country in the last 10 or 20 years, and we are really in a war. The church is in a war with the world in this country. No man that we must, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. See, we have to be driven by a desire to please God and do all of His will. If we are entangled with the affairs of this life, we're not going. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a job and work, okay? God wants us to work, and He wants us to be hard workers. But He says, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And we look at our troops that go overseas and fight battles. They don't continue their earthly job doing other things. They have a new job. It's warfare. And God wants us to understand that we must be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're in a battle. We are in a major battle in these days. And we must train those under us that are learning God's ways, that they learned, the young men, that they learn to be soldiers. They learn to not entangle themselves with the affairs of this life, just living, you know, and religion is kind of a side thing. No, our life is engaged in spiritual warfare, fighting the devil, fighting the powers of darkness, and we overcome and teach others to overcome. That's God's way. All right. Some of you may be looking for this next verse. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren. Have you been waiting for the finally? Well, here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And see, these are the names of different pieces of armor that God wants to clad us with in the Spirit, that we can be successful against the enemy of our souls. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And we need to study faith very carefully, because many people think faith is just saying we're going to get this promise, and they make up the promise themselves. But see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a rhema from God. You can't have faith without that. It's essential that we hear what God is saying He wants to do in our life. A living word from God, not just a scripture, but this is a word that God speaks into our heart. And then that produces faith. And we've got to understand that, because what a lot of people call faith is really hope. They hope they get something. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I didn't look this up. I think that is the Rhema of God there. It's not a logos, it's a Rhema of God, I believe. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God wants every one of us to mature so that we can lead the younger ones into the purposes of God, that they can have the armor of God, that they can be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and that they can enter in to the full purposes of God. In Revelation 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. God wants to meet with us. He wants us to grow, every one of us here. He wants us to really grow. Amen? To mature, to know the Father, to know the will of the Father. And part of that will of the Father is to nurture, to care for the babes in Christ and those young men and women that are developing, but they don't yet know the Father. Amen? Is everything clear? Are there any questions? Taking a chance on this one. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, you want to do amazing things in these last days before your return. You want to cause the church to mature, to develop and know the Father, your Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll mature every one of us, teach us your ways, show us how we can be fathers and mothers that can nurture those that are young. And Lord, we know revival's coming. Your word says it. We've been given promises of it. And Lord, we want to be ready for it so we can lead many into maturity. We thank you for your precious word and your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.